I'd like to call the meeting to order. This is the Utah State Tax Commission. We're meeting this afternoon in the commission hearing room, which is room 1025 at 210 North, 1950 West, Salt Lake City, Utah. The time of our meeting started at 1:30 p.m. on Tuesday, October 4th, 2014. Participating in today's commission meeting are the full commission, myself, John O. Valentine, as commission chair, Michael J. Cragen as commissioner, Robert P. Pirro as commissioner, Rebecca L. Rockwell as commissioner, also Barry Conover as executive director. Normally at this time we would open for public comment for individuals or groups wishing to address the commissioners for up to 3 minutes on matters not relating to a pending or reasonably imminent appeal to the tax commission. We've had one request from a member of the public to address the commission and indicated that he was coming from another meeting and would like to be heard at the end of the commission. So we've granted him that right, and we will hear from him at the end of that commission. That is Mr. Craig Bickmore, Executive Director of the Utah New Car Dealers. Next item on the agenda would be considered approving commission minutes of Thursday, September 8th, 2016. It's an action item. If you've had a chance to review the minutes of our prior meeting, I recognize Commissioner Pirro.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the minutes of Thursday, September 8th, 2016.
Thank you. Motion's in order. Debate? Seeing none, I'll place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Well, that passes unanimously. The minutes are approved. Next item on the agenda is to approve the submission of a proposed rule amendments to the Division of Administrative Rules for publication in the Utah Register. There are three rules, and I'll go to each one of those and recognize Commissioner Rockwell for them.
Thank you. The following proposed rule amendments are for the Commission to consider and submit for publication to the Division of Administrative Rules. The rules will be published in the Utah Bulletin on November 1st, 2016, and the public comment period will end on December 1st, 2016. The rules will likely be scheduled for further consideration at the Public Commission meeting scheduled for December 8, 2016. The first rule is R-861-1A-2, rulemaking power. This rule is outdated and therefore repealed. Under Title 63G, Chapter 3, all of the necessary guidance for agency rulemaking is provided, and the statutory provision is, in fact, what the Tax Commission follows in its rulemaking. This makes the rule unnecessary and is therefore repealed.
Okay, questions on that explanation of the repeal of this rule? I see none. Commissioner Rockwell for a motion.
Thank you. I move to submit the proposed rule amendment R-861-1A-2, rulemaking power to the Division of Administrative Rules.
Thank you. Motion's in order. Any debate on the motion? Seeing no debate, I'll place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Rule of motion passes unanimously. The rule will be submitted to the Division of Administrative Rules for publication. Commissioner Rockwell.
The second rule is R-865-19-S-41, sales to the United States government and its instrumentalities. The proposed amendment deletes language that requires the federal government to pay sales tax on merchandise or services it pays for with funds held in trust for non-exempt individuals or organizations. There's no statutory language no statutory authority for this language, and so it is deleted.
Thank you. Questions on this particular rule repeal? I see none. Commissioner Rockwell for a motion.
I move to submit the proposed rule amendment R-865-19-S-41, sales to the United States government and its instrumentalities to the Division of Administrative Rules.
Thank you. Motion's in order. Debate on the motion. Seeing none, I'll place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Rule it passes. The rule will be submitted to the Division of Administrative Rules for publication. Commissioner Rockwell.
The final rule is R884-24P53. This is the 2017 Valuation Guides for Valuation of Land, subject to the Farmland Assessment Act. The amendment annually updates the agricultural productive values to be applied by county assessors to land qualifying for valuation and assessment under the Farmland Assessment Act. These values are recommended to the Commission by the State Farmland Evaluation Advisory Committee, which meets under the authority of Utah Code Section 592.514. In Section 592.515, the State Tax Commission is authorized to promulgate rules regarding the Property Tax Act, Part 5, Farmland Assessment Act. Section 592.514 authorizes the State Tax Commission to receive valuation recommendations from the State Farmland Advisory Committee for implementation as outlined in Rule R884-24P53. The rule sets the acreage value rates for 418 separate class county combinations.
Thank you, Commissioner. Before we accept a motion on this, I'll turn to Commissioner Pirro, who's the chair of the State Farmland Evaluation Advisory Committee.
The State Farmland Evaluation Advisory Committee met on Wednesday, September 28, 2016, to consider the farmland evaluation report prepared by Utah State University. The report analyzes the several classifications of land in agricultural use in the various areas of the state and recommends values based upon productive capabilities of the land when devoted to agricultural use. The values in the report are summarized according to six land uses: irrigated cropland, orchard cropland, meadow cropland, dry cropland, grazing land, and non-productive land. To derive the values for each land use, Utah State University looked at changing crop prices, changing costs, crop yields or productivity, and crop mixes. The State Farmland Evaluation Advisory Committee voted unanimously to recommend the values in the Utah State University report for 2016 to the Tax Commission. These values are in the updated R884-24P-53 now before the Commission.
Thank you, Commissioner. Questions of either Commissioner Pirro or Commissioner Rockwell? I've seen none. Commissioner Rockwell for motion.
Thank you. I move to submit the proposed rule amendment R884-24P53, 2017 Valuation Guides for Valuation of Land, subject to the Farmland Assessment Act, which contains the values recommended by the State Farmland Evaluation Advisory Committee to the Division of Administrative Rules.
Thank you. Motion's in order. Debate on the motion. See no debate. Place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Rule it passes unanimously. This rule will also be submitted to the for publication to the Division of Administrative Rules. Next on the agenda would be the Executive Director's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was so captivated by the rules, and particularly the one on farmland assessment, I was caught unawares for just a moment. Nothing better than have a good cropland report. As far as the agency is concerned and the administrative side, we have completed most of all of our building improvements. We are working on a security issue on the west side of the building. We've got recommendations coming in from DFCM. They put it out to bid, and we'll be taking a look at that, and I will be passing that by you folks as we go further into that security aspect of it. As far as the building is concerned and the other our computers, we were we continue to be a very secure building, and our data is exceptionally secure. So we just want to let you guys know about that, and that our fraud unit on our income tax side is doing great work, and our audit staff and property and all of our divisions are doing very, very well at this time, and I just wanted to make note of that to you folks here in this meeting. But that's all I have, unless you have any questions.
Any questions of our executive director? Thank you. Let's now go to commission reports before we turn to public comment. Anyone in the commission have a report? I do not either. We have deferred public comment to the end of our meeting to accommodate the schedule of Mr. Craig Bickmore. Mr. Bickmore has asked if he could address the commission on a matter of relevance to him and his industry. It's not related to a pending or regional eminent appeal before the commission. So, Mr. Bickmore, if you'd like to join us here on the podium and just use this microphone right here. No, this one right here would be fine. Yes.
Thank you. My name is Craig Bickmore. I represent the New Car Dealers of Utah, a trade association, and I appreciate being in front of this group. I don't know if it's appropriate, but I'm going to say it anyway. Thank you, thank you, thank you for what you do. I think often the Tax Commission and the leadership and Tax Commission commissioners don't receive the praise and the accommodation that you deserve. You take a very, very difficult task and make it seem easy. And as a member of the public and who has an industry that represents a lot of commerce in the state, we want to tell you thank you. And your teams and staff that you oversee, thank you. I hope it's appropriate. If it wasn't, I said it anyway. So thanks to you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Bickmore.
There was a question that had come up as far as licensing and advertising and not advertising, licensing and you know, some proposal perhaps down the road to Mr. Commissioner and members of the commission, Executive Director Conover, as far as being able to, in our industry, sometimes it's cumbersome to get licensing, and you have dealerships that are multiple points, we like to call them, so they may be dualed, another term in our industry, in same facilities, etc. You may have just a Chevy dealer and a Ford dealer together. Now, the manufacturers may require separate facilities. In some circumstances, there may not be that same requirement. It may be different brands that are able to be dualed together, but they would need to be perhaps advertised separately, and requirements from the manufacturers as far as facilities. We may look to, and I don't have any specific recommendations today, but just wanted to breach that subject with the commission here today, that we may want to take a look at to see how can we make that flow of business easier for the licensing process when it comes to dual facilities and advertising. One manufacturer may require a particular ownership designation or name in advertising, another may have different, and so sometimes it may be a little cumbersome for manufacturer or for dealers to get all that licensing straight and still go ahead and be consistent with what the manufacturers want. So I wanted to approach the commission today to just breach that subject and say that we would likely have some thoughts down the road to make it a little more easier in that licensing prospect as it comes to facilities and the manufacturers and getting those proper designations so that everybody's in sync, especially the citizens of Utah, so that when they have a dealership that they know where that car is being purchased from and identified, etc. So kind of a few loose ends that I wanted to just bring to the commission that we would likely in the near future have some suggestions to make it a little more streamlined and navigatable for our industry. Certainly answer any questions.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman.
Any questions of member of the public.
What is your time frame for having specific recommendations for us, and how do you plan to present those?
We would gather them. We actually have a board meeting of our board in a couple of weeks. We've talked about this issue in the past. We wanted to make sure we got as much input, because every situation really is different, but if there were some commonalities that everybody's purposes could be accomplished, we'd do that. So I suspect it could be within 45 days. Would be a reasonable period of time and come before the commission and ask for some changes in rule.
Okay. That sounds great.
Other questions? I have just a couple.
Sure.
Are you considering rule changes or are you considering legislative change?
Well, I'm hopeful rule change. I think that if this could be done in a rule, that would be our preference, as opposed to a statutorial change.
And the issues from what your comments were, we're dealing with dual facilities, advertising, and facility approvals in general.
I think that's right, yeah, Mr. Chair. It just sometimes manufacturers, and again, there's 30-plus manufacturers, require certain language, and they like certain things done, and the advertising piece and the licensing piece. And I know concerns from, I've heard from the folks from enforcement who we work with closely and are very good people, that we want to make sure that the citizenry of Utah understands who's in that advertising piece, who's the owner of that dealership, so that they know that this... these are the folks who own the stores, and this is where they go, the advertising piece. So I think if that could be a little more clearly laid out, it would be simpler for everyone. Did that answer your question, Mr. Chair?
Yes, it does. Second question, how is the Fast Talk rule being implemented? Is it being able to be generally understood?
I hope so. And I would just share with you, in we have by statute a requirement to have continuing education for our members, and so we do that, you know, once a year we hold our meeting. I know there's others that hold that meeting, and as we travel and, you know, we visit our dealerships, those are some of the things that we bring up to them. So I'm hopeful that they understand it for the most part. I hope they do, and I hope they're applying accordingly.
I personally was watching it, and it took some time for it to be implemented, but we understand, of course, that sometimes those advertising things are done in advance, and so we are somewhat accommodating that, but there will come a time when, if they continue to do the Fast Talk on the radio and television especially, we may seek more active enforcement, just as a warning.
Well, I appreciate that, because what we want to do is be good corporate citizens here, truly. And so I will take that back, Mr. Chairman, as input, and just as we go out to our dealers. And, frankly, we interact a lot with media and others. We will share that with them. In fact, I have an occasion probably coming up in the next 30 days to have audience with members of the media. We'll bring that up. And if we need to send to, in fact, I'm not even use this term, we will send out a notification to our membership shortly.
Just be watchful of it.
Yeah, and just let them know that it's a continual concern. We're happy to do that. Absolutely.
And we really appreciated industry coming to us with that issue, because it really was causing some grief to the general consumer public. So
yeah,
we appreciate industries being raising that initially.
We will notify them again and bring it up in subsequent meetings. Absolutely.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Yep. Mr. Chairman, could I ask a couple?
You bet.
First of all, Mr. Bickmore, thank you for arranging your schedule to meet our schedule. It's always good to have you here. Off the top, I've had the association of working with the New Car Dealers Association for many, many years, and with Mr. Bickmore and the board that we have, our NVED board, for equally as many years. And I want to thank you and your board and the way that you folks try to comply with the laws and rules of the Tax Commission, and we appreciate that. My question to you is, has the environment within the industry changed significantly over the last 10 years, and is that one of the reasons why we need to maybe take a look at statute or, as you've suggested, maybe rule to bring that more into compliance the way the industry is moving?
It has. I would say that we've become more complex with the... Everything seems like it's going faster in all aspects of things. The car industry is certainly changing, and so that is... It's not as easy to do business as it used to be, just simply because I think of, I just give you an example, and this may not be exact, but it used to be that, you know, before someone purchased a vehicle, especially new, that they would visit 3, 4, 5 stores. The average now is about 1.6 or 7, and so it's really honed in. And so by virtue of the demand of the buying public, and I think that's good. Their messages are more honed. The transparency is wonderful. We invite that into our industry. But if you can go from 3 or 4 or 5 stores, the customer comes there and they know so much more about vehicles than they did before because they've done the research already. I mean, you know, it's not uncommon to have a customer come and know just as much and sometimes more than the salesperson because they spent that time on that second biggest purchase. And so, in answer to your question, Mr. Director, it has changed a lot. And so specific things for manufacturers have changed as well. And so, yes, this is reason for that.
Could I ask another question?
Go ahead.
You know, years ago, it used to be that a dealer had to have an independent building and signage for each one of their lines of vehicles, car lines. You mentioned this dual point and multi-point sales where they're, if I understand it correctly, they're housed somewhat in the same facility or are they separated or are they just on the same block that's different? Is that part of the challenges that the dealerships and the manufacturers are having right now for the one of the reasons why you're coming here to
talk about advertising piece? I think mainly, and here's the thing, many manufacturers are requiring their own facilities. In some cases, those facilities are able to be dualed. So, I didn't mean to convey that they are going now more to a dualed situation as opposed to independent standalone facilities. It could be a combination of both of those. It could also be a combination of just proximity of real estate, that maybe you have two buildings on one site. And in some of the cases, it may be that they are dualed. And so we're having lots of combinations of those things. But I would say if I was to guess, probably more so single point. Again, single point, I refer to that. But you take, for example, I'll take... General Motors, you'll have dual together in the same facility, a Buick and a GMC. And you may have a Dodge and a Chrysler and, a Ram or whatever. So there is some of that overlap between dual facilities where they have multiple brands and standalone. So it's those logistics that I think we're trying to best optimize so that the advertising and those kind of things come together.
What about the signage issue?
Well, in the signage as well, there are manufacturer requirements for signage, and it differs between manufacturer. And so that's an element that we want to certainly look at and be advantageous for everyone concerned so everybody knows who's where and what, because I think that's MBED's concern, that's our concern, and then the advertising piece. The advertising piece is, I mean, I don't watch the news a lot, but some. There's a lot of advertising going on, and so that's a key component here as well.
On the signage, do you ever find yourself in sort of a double dilemma where manufacturers requiring one thing, but our state statute is requiring something else?
That's part of that, Mr. Chair. That's part of that. Those things do somewhat come in conflict, and so the reason this issue has come up is that how do we navigate through that properly? And if it's a possibility of a rule change, or maybe statutorial, that's what we're here for, to just approach that subject.
We'll look forward to your further presentation. Any other questions?
Oh, I have one final
question. Yes, Commissioner
Ruckwell. Before you bring something back before the commission, do you plan to have agreement between the dealers and the manufacturers?
Let me ask this, put it this way. I don't know that we'd be able to get all the manufacturers on there, and I don't know that they necessarily. My feeling is, I think if there's agreement between the dealer body, I think that's going to pave the way to the manufacturers would be. I can't speak for them, but I think it's from an advertising standpoint, signing standpoint, I think the dealer body is where that, no pun intended, where the rubber meets the road, and I think everybody can work through those issues. Because you got the franchise agreements for the manufacturers, they require certain things, but I think we can get it at our level first that would satisfy the manufacturer's level. Did that answer your question?
Yes.
I think we can satisfy that easily. Because other states have a little different configuration than we do, and it works there. We just need to hone it here a little bit, is our thought.
Again, we'll be looking forward to your presentation.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank
Appreciate
you, Mr. Bickmore. Any other items to be brought before the commission? Seeing none, a motion to adjourn would be in order.
Move that we adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Well, it passes. We're adjourned.